Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Matthew and read and discuss the Word of Life for February. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
The disabled in our area are helped in many ways by many organizations. One of the premier programs is the LIP, or Living Independently and Productively program of Catholic Charities. The Office for Persons with a Disability has helped thousands of disabled persons and their families with guidance, support, and knowledge through education. The goal of this program is to remove limits placed on the ability of the human mind or the potential of the human spirit. The program provides educational, spiritual, and recreational programs for the hearing impaired, the deaf, blind, and other vision impaired, the mentally challenged, and those with other disabilities. Special masses for the disabled, religion classes, social activities, and home visits in Nueces and surrounding counties. To learn more about the Signature Program, call 884-0651.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm fine, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Greetings to everyone.
I know, on the first week in February.
Yes,
here we are.
Here we are.
In the middle of winter. We have a Gospel from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to His Word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to His disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is the, he continues his Sermon on the Mount. It began last Sunday. And in this Gospel, although it's short, it's obvious that Jesus is demanding not just words, but actions.
Right. This Gospel that we're reading today is familiar to all of us, but I think, again, it's, as you said, it needs to be positioned. Where is it in the Gospel? This year, of course, is on our three-year cycle. We're back in the A cycle, so we're reading from the Gospel of Matthew. And this particular verse with the two images of salt and light follows right behind the Beatitudes. So it's like Jesus is forming his disciples, telling them what interior attitudes they are to have. To be poor in spirit, to be consoling, to be merciful, to be people of peace, people who will be persecuted but do so for the right reasons, for justice, and are willing to endure these things. So as he teaches on the side of the mountain, on the Sermon on the Mount, which, by the way, we just returned from there with a group of us on a pilgrimage, went, and we actually stayed at the retreat house on the Mount of Beatitudes. So it was a very wonderful experience to absorb all of that. But even that, the Gospel's not limited to a place. It's always wonderful to be in touch with the reality of where these Gospel readings are located, but it transcends the place. So we have to look at these verses as a continuation of Jesus's formation of his disciples. And so, as you said, you know, we have the words here, you're to be Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those are the words. Now, translating that into to life is another reality. I think one thing that's important is that we take this seriously. It's not something that I can go learn to be peaceful, but it's always a cooperation. You know, we just celebrated a Christmas a few months ago, and part of that celebration continues in our life where the grace of God begins to work actively in our life. Saint Irenaeus said that he became what we are, human, so that we could become what he is. So it's our daily contact with Jesus that allows this transformation from word to action to take place. So, for example, when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, sometimes we're thrown into a situation where we need to be the agent of peace. It's too easy for us to join in the argument, too easy to join in and take a side. But when we take sides, and I've said this over and over, I know in other places, when we take sides, and it's not that we don't have opinions, I don't mean that, but we need to be people that are bridge builders, that can listen to both sides, that can come up with an alternative, which is an alternative to peace. So from words, blessed are the peacemaker, to action. It's usually in a situation with other people that we can learn what a peacemaker really is. We can't do that by ourselves. It's not just us using certain tools, mm-hmm. but it's also asking for the grace of God, the presence of Christ, to intervene and to help us, to be guided by his words. So in a situation that could be conflictual, we could say, blessed are the peacemakers. I'm called to be peacemakers. So that's where Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. In other words, you are the peacemaker. He commissions us. He tells us, you're the one in this situation, in this moment, that must be my peacemaker. And that's where we have then the commission to do that. It's, you know, at the end of every Mass, the priest says, or the deacon says, go. And that's not get out of the church.
Right.
That's go. That's a commission to go and do something in action. So when he says, you are the salt of the earth, he's saying, go and be salt. Because if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. The word that strikes me there is irrelevant. In other words, if you are not salt, if you are not you, me, all of us that are baptized as Christians, if we do not take on the task of being that salt, we become irrelevant. And I think, unfortunately, for too long, people see us as irrelevant, maybe because we've not lived up to the words that we profess. Or the words, you are the light of the world. When in the Holy Land, you're on the Sea of Galilee, and the guide normally will show you a town on the top of the ridge of a hill that surrounds the Sea of Galilee, and will say that Jesus was talking about that very city up there. Mm-hmm. And it's not obstructed by anything. It just It sits there in full view, and he said when he was speaking that it was dark or getting to be dusk, and the lights were shining on that city, and you could see it for miles. And again, he uses that image for you and for me, for all of us who profess his name and adhere to his words, to be the light where nothing obstructs the vision of what God wants for his people. And so he says to us that people see your good deeds, but don't give glory to you, but give glory to your heavenly Father. Again, we need to be there, but also to be out of the way so that people can see that it is God working in our world today. As you know, we celebrated the Year of Mercy. How much has that stuck with us, you know, to be that agent of mercy instead of being an agent of judgment or criticism. Right. So the more that we take seriously the words, and that's why in the next segment we will read the Word of Life, giving us just one sentence to put into practice, the more we become an agent and evangelize ourselves with the Word of God, moving from word to action, the more we are salt, the more we are light to other people, the more we can give a different seasoning to our world and our country, to our families, and not just be some pious, irrelevant group of people. We really need to step up, as Pope Francis has shown us in so many ways, to be relevant to our world today and to meet the needs of others, to bring the truth of Jesus Christ to others.
You know, when you were talking about that and how we can be the salt of the earth, I think it's the awareness in all of us, because we all, well, at least for myself personally, I think, oh, I can do this, and I think I can just change everything quickly. But this doesn't come quickly. This is just, what is the awareness in myself that I need to be a change agent? And it all doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
That awareness, it takes a while to reflect on what that awareness is,
yeah,
of where I probably have not been a change agent and listened to the
Beatitudes. Right. I think, yeah, that's good. And I think, you know, one of the things is Christianity is about today, not tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, well, I'll join in this gossip session today, but tomorrow I won't do it anymore.
Right, exactly.
That's not being a change agent. It's
right.
Christianity is today. Mm-hmm. Every time we're in a situation, whatever it is, that's the moment. That's mm-hmm. the grace moment to live what we're called to live, to be light, to be salt. So it's not about tomorrow. It's about today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have in 2017, 18, whatever year, you know, we're mm-hmm. approaching, we're called to do that today, now.
Well, you and I have talked many times on this program that our faith is a journey.
It is.
And it's always a learning.
Right. And it's something, you know, that we may fail a million times, but that one moment when the Word of God takes hold of us and we actively put it into practice in that present moment, we see the wisdom of God's grace in that moment, and it encourages us to move forward and to do more. Once you taste the things of God through His Word, especially, the more you want.
Right.
The more we ignore it, you know, we just keep ignoring. But it's time for all mm-hmm. of us to really make a difference, as you say, to be agents of change.
Right.
In our world.
Right. And we can do that. All right, we are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for February. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Several times each year, the Diocese of Corpus Christi offers a convalidation seminar to couples who are seeking to validate a civil, non-sacramental, or common law marriage. Convalidation brings such marriages into conformity with church teaching and sacramentalizes the bond. The goal is to help couples enrich their civil marriage or prepare them to remarry in the sacrament of matrimony. Couples are encouraged to speak with a priest before registering for the seminar to ascertain whether it is the right program to meet their needs. The seminar lasts from 8 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. at the Pax Christi Retreat Center in Cal Allen. For more information, call the Office of Family Life, 361-882-6191. The Diocese of Corpus Christi is more than church. It's a way of life.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. As I mentioned in the beginning of the program, this is the first Sunday in February, so we have a new Word of Life for February.
Well, and it is a refreshing one, I think, mm-hmm. Taking off on what we just talked about being salt and light, and how do we do that? We don't do it with our old self, as St. Paul would say, the old man, but with the new man, the renewed person, which means a new heart. And so the February's Word of Life is in line with that, where it says from Ezekiel, a new heart I will give you and a new spirit I will put within you. I think it's important to recognize I will give you. You don't create it yourself. You don't invent it yourself. I will give you mm-hmm. this heart and this spirit. So we'll start. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. The word heart makes us think of our affections, feelings, and passions. For those writing the Bible, however, it meant a great deal more. Together with the spirit, the heart is the center of life, the center of what it means to be a person. It is the place where decisions are often made, a place of our inner being, our spiritual life. A heart of flesh lets itself be governed by the Word of God, lets itself be led by it, and thinks thoughts of peace toward its neighbors. A heart of stone is closed in upon itself, incapable of listening and of having mercy. Do we need a new heart and a new spirit? It's enough just to look around us. Violence, corruption, and wars spring up from hearts of stone that are closed to God's plan for creation. If with sincerity we also look within ourselves, do we not feel that we are often motivated by selfish desires? Are our decisions truly guided by love, by wanting the good of others? Observing the sad state of our human race, God is moved by compassion. He, who knows us better than we do ourselves, knows we need a new heart. He promises this to the prophet Ezekiel, thinking not just of individuals, but of the whole of his people. The dream of God is to recreate this idea from the beginning, a great family of peoples shaped by the law of mutual love. History has shown us how. On the one hand, very often we alone are incapable of carrying out his project, and on the other, God has never tired of putting himself on the line, even to the point of promising he would himself give us a new heart and a new spirit. He lives up to his promise in full when he sends his Son into the world and pours out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. A community is born, the community of the first Christians in Jerusalem, an icon of humanity characterized by being one heart and one soul. And I, as the one writing this brief commentary, and you too who read it or listen to it, we are called to be part of this new humanity. What's more, we are called to build it around us, to make it present where we live and work. Just think of what a tremendous mission has been put into our hands and how great the trust is that God gives us. Instead of being depressed in the face of a society that often seems corrupt, instead of resigning ourselves to the face of evils that are bigger than we are, and closing ourselves in our indifference, let's enlarge our hearts to the measure of the heart of Jesus. How much work remains? Yet this is the one thing necessary. When this is done, all is done, wrote Kara Lubick. It means loving everyone we meet as God loves them, she continued. And since we live in time, we must love our neighbor one by one without holding in our heart any remnant affection for the brother or sister we met moments before. End quote. Let's not trust in our frail strength and ability, but in God's gift to us. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. If we let ourselves be governed by the invitation to love every person, if we let ourselves be guided by the voice of the Spirit in us, we become living cells of a new humanity, people who craft a new world in the midst of the varieties of peoples and cultures.
Well, that's a lot to think over.
It is. You know, there was one part in this that really kind of struck me, that God, in my words, never gives up on us. That there's sometimes we can become very discouraged by the state of things, by the face of corruption, as she said, or as he said, mm-hmm. And all these different difficulties and evils in the world, we can never become discouraged that God somehow, in his own way, in his own mystery, recreates the human race and sends the necessary gifts. And so we're a part of that. So to have a new heart and a new spirit from God is something that we really need to open our own selves to. You know, sometimes even on one day of discouragement or a day that we really are feeling out of sorts, that if we just take that time aside and speak to God and say, you know, give me a new heart and a new spirit. Help me to look at things differently. Help me to see people differently, to love, as he said here, one by one, each mm-hmm. person. It's that that creates in the individual a new heart and a new spirit. And then, of course, bringing that to others with a new attitude, a new spirit, it recreates the whole situation, can recreate a certain situation in the office, at home, etc. So, mm-hmm. again, this is part of our life of being salt and light in the world by a new heart and a new spirit.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, Bishop, about the fact when we feel like we're being dragged down or we hear the news and we feel things are being dragged down or we have a situation, we just need to stop and pray and ask for guidance and maybe courage.
Well, yeah, and I think the one thing that we recognize, we need to recognize if we don't, is it doesn't all depend on me.
Right.
And it's not all on God either. I mean, right. We're agents together. He has chosen us, you know, to be there for him, to be those channels, those instruments of peace. I mean, the St. Francis, that great, beautiful hymn that we like to sing, mm-hmm. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me bring love. Where there's injury, pardon. You know, all of these contrasting feelings that we see. When we see the negative, then we can bring the positive. But it starts with a new heart that he can give us in a new spirit. And that's where, you know, we have to always reflect his love in our lives and reflect on his love in our life and accept that love. That's why Jesus, I think, oftentimes in the Gospels went apart from everybody to pray, to reconnect in a real way. He always knew that the Father was there, as we do. But to be conscious of that as a human person, to be aware of that and to allow that to take root in us and in order to bring it to others, that's a real task of ours to give God that time.
Yes. And I think that we need to, I mean, we're very early into this new year and we just celebrated Christmas, and so we need to just remember that. Because in a month we're going to start Lent, you know, and that's always a time of reflection too. So this will help us prepare.
Right. And, you know, this is always a daily task. And it's really, I think, the beauty of who we are. It's something, you know, in saying all of this, it's not strange. Mm-hmm. It's not a strange way of life that we're mm-hmm. calling for, that's called for here. It's really the normal way of life. What sometimes to people would seem irrelevant, that we spend too much time in God's life or his life and ours, but that's what's normal. We've got to mm-hmm. get into our heads that being a child of God is the normal way of life. It's not the abnormal way or the extraordinary way. It's the normal, simple way of being one of God's children and bringing that grace and peace to others. That's normal for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Bishop. Well, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Grant, O Lord our God, that we may honor you with all our being and love everyone in the truth of heart. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View,
1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.